This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. We'll soon learn which two teams will advance to this year's NBA Finals. And I know most of the media attention is on the Miami Heat and its star LeBron James, but we would like to take a moment of this playoff season to remember a former star of the NBA. Stephon Marbury is one, he in fact was a two-time All-Star whose life in the league was commendable on the court, but plagued by often controversial behavior. His well-publicized, contentious relationships with coaches eventually took him from the starting lineup to the bench, and he bid farewell to the NBA in 2009. That same year, a series of strange videos starring Stephon popped up online. In one, he can be seen arguing with an employee at an Apple store. He's eating Vaseline in another, and then still another, Stephon airs a message for LeBron James.
Don't nobody own me. I'm 100% owner. What's up? I'm not 51. I'm not 49. I'm 100. LeBron James said, I would never wear a $15 sneaker. How do you feel about what LeBron James said? Stephon Marbury, LeBron James said he would never wear a $15 sneaker. Tell LeBron James, I said, I'd rather be owned. He don't own Nike. He makes $10 million a year, and that's it. How much money you think Nike making off LeBron James?
More about those $15 sneakers in a moment, but last year, Stephon Marbury announced that he would return to the game, not as a player in the U.S., he signed with the Brave Dragons, a team in the Chinese Basketball Association. The move is a unique sort of professional makeover, seemingly affording Stephon more control over his career. Chapel Hill writer Wells Tower recently caught up with Stephon Marbury in China. Wells profiled the former NBA player for an article that can be found in this month's issue of GQ magazine. And Wells Tower joins us now from a studio in New York. Wells, welcome back to the program. Good to talk with you.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Now, when you were assigned to write a story about Stephon Marbury, did you know much about him?
I knew nothing about him. I'm not really particularly a sports fan, other than occasionally getting excited when my friends get excited about basketball in Chapel Hill. But yeah, I really know nothing about it whatsoever. And when my editor proposed it, I said that I'd be game to do it just so long as I had unlimited access to Stephon and didn't have to go through, publicists or anything like that. So I traveled with him and was with him, 16 hours a day when we were in China for a week.
And why was GQ interested in him?
Well, they're very interested in, there's just a natural kind of, rebirth narrative in what Stephon's doing in China, that he was someone who was so widely reviled in New York when he was playing for the Knicks and things went south with him and Isaiah Thomas and then later D'Antoni. So there was a time when Stephon was getting paid quite a number of millions of dollars to do nothing but ride the bench. And so the New York fans abhorred him. Everybody thought that his NBA or his basketball career was over when he left the Knicks. And then the idea that he found a second life in China where, the fans were willing to give him a second chance and where he could launch his Starbury apparel and shoe brand again. There's just a natural kind of dramatic shape to that story.
Tell us about that, because his certainly reputation, as you say, reviled, ultimately exiled from the NBA in a league not famous for, it's good guys in this league anyway. And if he's the outlaw in that group, you're thinking, what's it like to know him? But as you got to know him personally, you found a stark contrast in his personality.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I was very apprehensive because I'd heard so many horror stories about him. And, I'd even heard that some sort of wrestling personality, some WWF guy had based his cantankerous personality on Steph. and so I was really kind of nervous about spending a week with this guy who was supposed to be a kind of enfant terrible. But I think that he suffered so much at the hands of the press while he was going through what he was doing with the Knicks, that it really humbled him. And I found him to be a strangely kind of ingenuous, guileless, decent guy who, really wanted to be liked and wanted to find people that he could like.
And he loved his fans. He loved being around him.
He loved his fans. It was actually kind of incredible that we flew out of New York's JFK and And we ate lunch or something on the JFK concourse, and nobody recognized him. The waitress was kind of curt with him. And then as soon as we stepped off the plane in Beijing to catch our flight to Shanxi, where he was playing, he was immediately mobbed by fans. You know, he couldn't take five steps without people wanting an autograph. And the thing that was remarkable about it was that he was willing to give an autograph to absolutely everybody who wanted one. You know, it would have driven me crazy. But yeah, he was incredibly forebearing and gracious. You know, he just seemed grateful to be liked.
Shanxi, the paradise, the sweet, pristine, bucolic paradise of China. Oh, no, not
right.
Quite.
No. So Steph was playing for a team in the city of Taiyuan, which is west of Beijing. And I guess Taiyuan is where most of the coal is burned, if I understand this correctly, to fuel the Beijing grid. And I've never been in a place where the air was as opaque and just sort of apparently toxic as it was in Taiyuan. I mean, it was such a dirty town. And I've been in a few dirty towns, but nothing like this. Like I took a walk around the block from my hotel and I came back and I had a lot of sort of little black marks on my face as if somebody had attacked my face with a burnt matchstick. Yeah. Like every morning, all the cars were kind of covered in a sort of Pompeian covering of particulate coal grime. It was really something.
It's a nasty place, but he's going to play there. He loves his fans. And not only that, he's going to relaunch his business, Starberry. He got it going. Tell us about Starberry and what his plans are.
The Starberry thing was very interesting, you know, that he started that brand through a sporting goods chain, Stephen Barry, when he was playing for the Knicks. And the thing that was intriguing about it was that he was making these sneakers that were retailing for, I think, $15. And Stefan's somebody who grew up in Coney Island, where people were regularly getting, you know, held up for their Air Jordans or something. And you know, he avowedly said that he wanted to have a shoe that you know, a single mother could buy five pairs for her children and it wouldn't break the bank. And I thought that was a very admirable thing that he did, and something that tended to get overlooked, by people who preferred to dwell on his bad behavior. But anyway, so the idea with going to Shanxi was that he was going to be able to restart his brand over there with the help of the team owner.
And in fact, there was some interest that would not have, I mean, obviously all the investment fell out while he was, you know, in that in-between time, but he now found renewed business interest.
Yeah. I mean, the week that I spent with him was pretty interesting in that, I went over thinking that we were going to be, you know, touring factories and, you know, having business meetings and things like that. And really what happened is we just sort of showed up and then did nothing but go to McDonald's and get massages every day. And so I actually was in a state of real panic thinking, how am I going to make this story work? I mean, there's just sort of nothing going on here. The season opener was still, a week or two away and I wasn't seeing anything. And then there was this kind of remarkable turn the day before I left where it turned out that Stefan had been, maneuvered off of the team, which was really kind of a bombshell because it appeared as though all of his dreams about his resurrection in China were falling apart. So that was quite a difficult moment. But
exactly. So the headlines would read, Stefan fails on yet another continent. Right. And so here it is. These dreams are about to be dashed. But there are business headquarters and the business is still looking good. In fact, Stefan has found another team. We should point that out.
Yeah, that was the really remarkable thing was that, here it was, I think, a week before the season opener. And there are all sorts of very complicated rules about Chinese teams hiring Western players. And, there's lots of contractual stuff involved, and it's very complex. So I thought that there would be no way that Steph would be able to land on another team, with just a scant handful of days before the season opener. But amazingly, he did land on a team in the south of China and had a very good season. He put up 51 points in one game, and it looks as though all is going forward in a great way for him.
And how about the business plans? There's actually a business office in Morrisville, right here near Raleigh.
Yeah, that was sort of a startling thing to find out that, here I was reporting the story up in New York and there happened to be this tether kind of to my backyard. I think that it may have something to do with the fact that Stefan's wife is from, I think, either Winston-Salem or Greensboro, but he had a contact, a guy who I think went to business school at UNC, who is sort of running the operational things from Morrisville just because it's much less expensive than, you know, maintaining a place on Madison Avenue.
And if the business goes well, he's going to found his own city, hopefully in South Carolina.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, when I asked him what he wanted to do, you know, with the uncountable billions that he hopes to rack up in China, he said, yeah, that his dream was to buy this 4,000-acre property in South Carolina and to start a city that would be populated by mostly his relatives from Coney Island. You know, I mean, he's got a very, he has this interesting impulse where he you know, just seems to want to look out for all and everyone who are related to him.
It is literally a story of fables, a fabulous story. Wells, thank you so much for talking with us about it.
My pleasure, Frank.
Wells Tower, a writer for Chapel Hill, from Chapel Hill. The article, Welcome to the Far East Conference, about former NBA player Stephon Marbury, can be found in this month's issue of GQ Magazine online, GQ.com. On the state of things just ahead, what happens when a talented troupe of transgendered people take their show on the road? We'll find out on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.